COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Just notice you're wearing that. Are you ever going to take it off?
No, I'm not going to take it off. I'm just going to, I think I'm just going to sleep in this for a while now. Just, you have to celebrate that. Hey, everyone. Welcome into Redacted. If you're listening to the audio version of it, yes, I'm wearing an Eagles hoodie. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We've got a lot of news to get to here on your Monday. So glad to see you. By the way, just some breaking news a few minutes ago. Zelensky says, you know, there's a reason he doesn't want to hold elections in Ukraine. And there's a good reason.
Here's what he says. Zelensky claims that the Ukrainian people oppose holding elections and prefer that he remains in power. If only there were a way to validate that. How, Clayton, do you think we would know that he was right, that the Ukrainian people, could they mind telegraph us?
No, I think maybe elections could be the answer.
Elections would let us know whether or not they want him to, but he says they don't even want elections. They like it how it is. They like having their kids drafted and thrown off the streets into war. They love it.
Yeah, unbelievable. Thanks, Zelensky, the most corrupt country in Europe, and this is why, of course, we decide. And by the way, the neocons are fully in support right now of sending more weapons and money. They don't want USAID broken down. All of the fraud and abuses there. Now, this seems to be the line that you're hearing now from neocons, which is, no, it's a deterrent to Putin. So we've got to keep USAID in place. This is the new neocon strategy. We're going to talk about that a little bit on the show today. Also, economist Peter St. Ange is going to be joining us because are we heading for a worldwide recession? We got some unbelievable numbers over the weekend from the Biden administration. They were fudging the numbers as to what related to their jobs reports. They had to revise each of those months. And now it looks like, of course, we are heading for disaster. And this was all sort of handed right into the lap of President Trump. So can even he pull it back? It doesn't look like it. We're going to dive into the economic numbers here in a few minutes.
We're also going to look at more things that Elon Musk and the Doge Department has found, such as money going from FEMA to support illegal immigrants, which just 6 weeks ago was a conspiracy theory.
Right.
Can we get another point on the board for conspiracy theorists? Also, money going abroad, money for Social Security, for duplicate Social Security numbers, now massive fraud with Social Security. And yet we're always warned that by the time we reach Social Security, the pot might be empty. They may run out of money.
Yeah.
Maybe someone wanted to do an audit and didn't like what we saw. So we're going to tell you about that.
And we're also going to take a look at Europe, because Europe looks like it's on the verge of collapse right now. And you see what's happening with the farmers in the UK, massive farmer protests in London this afternoon, and what they're asking for is, please don't put this massive estate tax on top of us. We already are only making 3 to maybe 5% in a good year. And it looks like Europe, of course, wants to push towards getting rid of these farms. So we're going to go to London and look at that. Plus, all of Europe today. We've got a lot of stories to get to today on the show. So welcome in. Let us know where you're joining us from.
Let me just continue with this Zelensky bit, because I can't let it
go.
Thing that I saw, a headline for the Associated Press over the weekend, is, why would Trump give Putin this gift of defunding media in Ukraine and Russia? So think of the mental gymnastics that they're asking you for. So they're saying, because we can't control the narrative about the war in Ukraine, that is a gift for Putin, which is a tacit admission that they've been lying to you and keeping you from the actual Russian side of the war. Can you believe that this is happening? I mean, I can, because we've been deconstructing these lies for nigh on 3 years now. But what they're saying is, we still need to control Ukraine's media, and we need to do that through USAID and your tax dollar. And in fact, since that's been dried up, Ukrainian media says they're out of money. They have no, I mean, there's no market forces. Like, what ad revenue is Ukrainian media getting to support themselves? Clearly, that doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't exist. And as Noel here in our Rumble chat says, Noel 2024 says, our money does not need to go to other nations. Do not send our money to other nations. Miss Stacy Lynn says, globalists don't like to lose. More shitty shit is coming. Shitty shit.
Right. And again, over the weekend, Maxine Waters says, we don't need to be sending our money to Mars. We need our money to stay right here, which is so interesting because Democrats have been so interested in sending our money to Guatemala for sex changes, to Bangladesh, to all of these foreign nations for their social programs. But she's just concerned about Mars, not our own borders. I guess she only thinks, what would we call this? She thinks she's only worried about borders up, not wide.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I guess to the moon. All right, we're going to talk about all of this and now this wasteful spending here. And economist Peter St. Ange is going to be joining us here in a second because we're going to be looking at these new fake jobs numbers that Biden was lying. They were lying to. Can you imagine that? They were lying to you about these jobs numbers from the Biden administration to hide how bad the economy actually is. We could be heading for a worldwide recession. We're going to talk to Peter in just a second. But first,
we want to remind you that our sponsor is The Wellness Company. And guess what? They have a new product that can help issue, address rather, that can help address a long common concern called long COVID syndrome. This is a condition that leaves people feeling brain fog, chronic fatigue, shortness of breath, lingering for months and sometimes years. So The Wellness Company makes it easy for you with their new long COVID syndrome support. They have doctor formulated nutraceuticals with 5 to 8 plants and minerals in each bottle designed to address the root cause of long COVID, which is something that obviously the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to talk about or address, but of course it exists. They also have the ultimate spike detox, mind lifted, elevated energy, and healthy heart. Dr. McCullough, friend of the show, who was with us through most of the pandemic every step of the way, recommends a durable recovery through holistic health. So explore targeted solutions like long COVID syndrome support. Right now, you can save $40 on the bundle, plus get extra discounts as well when you go to twc.health/redacted. You'll also get $23 off plus free shipping. Again, that's twc.health/redacted.
Well, are we about to face a worldwide recession? Former Wall Street money manager and financial analyst Ed Dowd just released a new report this weekend called Danger of Deep Worldwide Recession in 2025. And he says the Biden administration basically hid how weak the economy really was in order to win an election, lying to all of us about how bad it really was. The new report shows how a weak economy was propped up under the Biden administration and how a crash this year, he says, is inevitable. What is he talking about? Could it be Biden's 2024 jobs numbers? They just came out. We now know that Biden was lying about the jobs and pretty much everything else. So let's bring in economist Peter St. Ange, who just actually did a fabulous report on X about these jobs numbers, and we'll talk about all of that. Peter, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Well, I just want to ask you, I mean, let's talk first of all about this idea of a worldwide recession, and then I want to drill down on these jobs numbers first. I mean, how bad is it? I mean, I know people think, you know, a lot of people are thinking, oh, Trump's a savior. Like he's some sort of omnipotent person. He's going to come in within a few weeks and everything's going to be fine. But they've been hinting, and even Elon Musk last summer said it's going to be pretty bad. So are we about like are we going to be in for like 2 years of hell before anything turns around?
Yeah, so you've got a couple elements here. Generally, economic reforms take time. So you can cut taxes, you can cut regulations. This will all grow your economy, but it doesn't happen overnight. And the trick for Trump is that he's up against the Biden economy. So a lot of what was happening under Biden was either fake or it was bought by government spending. So a lot of the job numbers are fake. We're now getting revisions in the order of 600,000 or 800,000. These are government revisions. These are not tinfoil hat revisions here. So that's suggesting that a lot of the jobs that we thought that we had under Biden aren't actually there. Then meanwhile, you've got another side of it, which is that by all accounts, Biden was dumping out government spending. He had deficits of something like $2 trillion. You can buy a lot of GDP with that. And then it can look like your economy is doing quite well, but of course you are going bankrupt buying growth that way. So yes, Trump is suggesting all of the right things to grow the economy, suggesting cutting taxes, cutting the burden of government, also regulations. But the question is how long does that take? And is it going to be enough to counter what Ed Dowd is worried about, which is the Biden sort of the overhang from the Biden takeover of the economy and sort of goosing the numbers?
Well, I don't think there's a way to recover from a perverted economy based on lies that would not be painful. You posted something on X. Would you sort of, I guess, handle, would you be able to cope with this correction if you knew that then it would make things better in the future? And I think about the economy that we're going to hand off to our children would be based on a pie in the sky. So is there any other way to do this than just do it the hard way?
Yeah, well, you had alluded to that earlier when Elon Musk was warning that some of the reforms that we're going to need from here out are going to be temporarily painful. An interesting data point is what happened at Argentina. So Javier Milei cut something like a third of the government budget, roughly 6% of GDP is what he cut, which is a massive amount of spending to cut. He laid off, in U.S. terms, something like 500,000 government workers. Now, what you got out of that was about a 3.5% recession, which is pretty bad. However, the following year now, the forecasts for next year growth are about 8.5%. Okay, so the trick here is that if you're going to fix our economy, right, if you're going to reduce the footprint of government, if you're going to mass deport a lot of these illegal aliens who are massive fiscal drains, you are going to get a reduction in paper GDP. However, that's going to make you a lot wealthier. Moreover, it's very temporary. If we look at what happened in Argentina, I mean, that was absolutely shock therapy. That's the best case scenario of what we might get here in the States, is something on the scale of what Milei did. And even that, the recession lasted 1 year, and now they're looking at 8.5% growth. Markets are soaring, bonds are soaring, which is something you haven't seen in Argentina in a long time. So we need the medicine. And, you know, I posted something you mentioned earlier, which was looking at Menlo Baer, at his followers. And he's, you know, a very sort of sober analyst. And he asked his people if, in order to make these reforms and the spending cuts, if we were going to get a recession and a market correction of something like 30%, would that be okay? Would you accept that? He had about almost 90% of people said, bring it. I think at this point, Americans, we have been through a lot. We have been sort of horrified at what's happening to our country. And a lot of people are willing to suffer some pain if we're actually going to reform, get onto a path where America is great again, meaning that we can start building wealth, we can bring manufacturing back to the country, we can replace this government takeover with a healthy economy that's actually generating jobs for Americans.
It seems like we never really went through the pain that we were supposed to go through. Like, it's been artificially propped up and held together with duct tape. And so we've never really, when we went through all of this massive money printing, even after the 2008 collapse, it still never, we really never went through it fully. It was never allowed to feel the pain. We kept the patient sort of artificially alive, it seems like. So how, if we are fully going to go through it and we all just need to buck up and just get ready, it's going to be bad. How bad will it be?
And addendum to that, will they blame Trump for it? Do you think?
Oh, of course.
Will the media blame Trump for it?
Guaranteed. Well, you know, we're talking about this job report that just came out, and it was covering the period before Trump was in office. But of course, media slavishly put it out as Trump's first job report because there was a lot of garbage in there. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That's been the pattern. There's a great book by Jim Grant called The Forgotten Depression. He talks about the 1919 Depression. That was after World War I, with a massive collapse in government spending. So this caused sort of mechanically a recession. And back then, the government did absolutely nothing about it. It was a very, very sharp recession. It lasted about 6 months. And then we had the Roaring Twenties. We had 10 years of return on that. Unfortunately, our leaders don't have those kinds of balls anymore. So at this point, they do exactly what you're saying. Every single time we get a crisis, whether it's 2001, we have dot-com crash, 9/11 hit at the same time, whether it's 2008, where, of course, the banks screwed up the economy, whether it was COVID, every single time, rather than taking the medicine and clearing out the bad parts of the system in 2008, especially, which let all the banks go bust and let them get bought for a song out of bankruptcy. Instead of taking that tough medicine, they dump out trillions of dollars, a lot of that financed by the Federal Reserve. That's really what makes this possible. But the end result is that the economy sort of gunks up. It's like Alzheimer's disease or something where you just get clogged up. And if you want to see what the future of that is, you can see that very clearly in Europe. Europe has been even worse than the U.S. on that count. And they don't produce anything. They have no national champions. There is no technology leader has come out of Europe in 50 plus years. So that is our future. That was the path that we were on with Biden-Harris. The question is, how quickly can Trump change it? Most important, can he keep the people on his side? So that's, I think, one of the most fascinating aspects of the 2024 election is that legacy media did everything they could. They were talking about the Austrian corporal. That used to be pretty taboo, but they were going banging on about that 24/7. They pulled out all the stops and they failed. And so a lot of what happens in Washington, right, a lot of the spineless Republicans and the uniparty, a lot of this stuff is because traditionally politicians of both parties have been deathly afraid of the news media and the news media's ability to brainwash voters, to gaslight them into, in practice, the point of view of the left. So at this point, that's going to be the big question. If we look at what's happening with Trump right now, it's a full court press. The legacy media hates Doge. They're pumping out all this. They hate his tax cuts. They hate everything about Trump. It's not working. There was a CBS poll just the other day that found that Trump's popularity is rising. It's rising among traditionally Democrat groups. Meanwhile, Republican voters are hardcore MAGA. There's another article just came out today how senators, GOP senators, are quote unquote terrified of Trump and Doge, right? If you look at Trump 1.0, they were laughing at Trump. They were blocking him every chance they got. He couldn't get anything through. He barely got his tax cuts through. So I think it's a very different world now. And one of the keys to that is that legacy media's power has absolutely collapsed. So I think it's a very, gives us a lot more sort of play space in Washington to actually get serious structural changes.
Right. So you mentioned the jobs report. You did a fantastic video about it this morning. One of the things that stuck out to me was the highest unemployment rates were amongst teenagers. Now, something Thomas Sowell always says is when you have teenagers with nothing good to do, nothing good happens, and no good economy can be built around that. And the YouGov poll, CBS YouGov poll that you just mentioned, shows a rising approval for Republicans for Trump. So why do you think Democrats frame this as something that is cruel, this, you know, replacing jobs with illegal immigration, when it's actually cruel to a population they are totally ignoring?
That's been one of the fascinating stories of the past decade, is that the Democrats had always been for the little guy, right? They had been for blue-collar workers, union members, people who work with their hands, teenagers, people who are marginally attached to the labor force. That had always been their bread and butter. And they've completely sold them out at this point, where they are siding with the corporations. They're siding with, you know, big ag and big corporations that want to import cheap labor. And so that's now given us an economy here where blue collar workers and teenagers, right? These are people who are traditionally low skill. They need those first couple rungs on the ladder. And what they're finding is that, you know, the first dozen rungs on the ladder are being occupied by illegals who are working minimum wage. So, you know, the left says, ah, Americans don't want these jobs. Well, no, they don't want them at minimum wage. No, they don't. Right. And so the key here is that you get these illegals out, right? Because currently you have third world or literal third worlders competing with Americans for those first rungs of the ladder. But what happens is teenagers can't get job skills. People who are marginally attached, you know, whether it's in cities or in sort of Rust Belt towns, so-called, none of these people can get the first rung on the ladder, so they can't move up into managerial positions. So I think it's sort of shocking the degree to which the Democrat Party sold out its base. After the election outcome here, you know, I think they kind of looked at 2016 as a sucker punch. Like, they weren't ready for it. Trump kind of snuck in. They didn't expect it. But at this point, they very much did everything they could to stop Trump. They failed. I think in a sane world, they would sit back and say, okay, maybe we need to go back to that old left. We need to champion the working class, the little guy, And instead, it looks like they're just doubling down on the identity BS. And, you know, their sort of current push right now seems to be a life or death defense of foreign aid, which is one of the least popular things that the government spends on. They've completely lost their minds. They're supposed to be the smart ones. They've got all the academics and whatnot on the payroll, but they're it's spectacular how badly they're doing right now, that they just have zero creativity, that maybe because they're terrified of their own activists, they've spent so long, you know, playing along with the gender business and all that, that they're just afraid to have an independent thought. But it's yeah. quite exciting for the MAGA movement. Just Washington is rolling over. The opposition has been completely incompetent.
Yeah, and maybe the antidote for them right now is, we heard from Andy Kim, Democrat, this weekend. He basically said, you guys want to push this through, we're going to shut down the government, which is exactly like, please do that. Like, that's exactly what Republicans want.
Yeah, I love don't throw me in that briar patch.
Like, that sounds fun. Peter
With
St. Ange,
enemies I like that, who needs friends, yeah.
Exactly. Follow the professor on X. He does a fabulous job breaking down the what's going on economically right now. And this jobs report, these numbers are just stunning. The hidden jobs report that the Biden administration kept from us. Peter, yeah. great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me on.
I will say, if you've been following his study, the man reads the books. He looks at the numbers. None of this should be surprising yeah. at all. And yet people who have tunnel vision and Trump derangement syndrome find themselves surprised.
Coming up, we're going to talk about Social Security because, look, for months now, of course, the reports have been that Social Security has been fraudulent, that, of course, illegal immigrants have been getting Social Security checks. Now, the Elon Musk's Doge has uncovered unbelievable fraud in this system. We're going to talk about that and what this means for the Social Security Trust Fund, because we keep hearing how it's insolvent. It's going to run out. Really? We can send billions to Ukraine. We can send billions to Pakistan for drag shows and whatever else. But now Social Security is almost insolvent. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first,
we want to remind you that Redacted is brought to you by Shopify. And if you have an idea to sell something to the world, Shopify is where you start. And it is, in fact, where we started. If you go to Redacted Store, we run that on Shopify because it's easy. They help with support. And when we have an idea for something, such as our new t-shirt that says communism equals starvation, we can execute on that really fast because Shopify makes it so easy. We come up with an idea, we draft it up, we draw it up. Our great graphic designer Grim does that, and it's on the web in seconds. So if you have an idea like this, Shopify can take you from idea to execution, to making your own money, to quit your day job because you do that, in lickety split. So head on over to shopify.com/redacted. You can sign up for a 1 month trial period today. And again, they can show you how to do it. You don't need to know e-commerce. You don't need to know business finance. You don't need to know graphic design. They will help you. So one more time, it's shopify.com/redacted. Let them know that you were sent by us.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, over the weekend, we got some bombshell news about Social Security from Elon Musk's Doge team. Here is Elon's tweet here. Just learned that the Social Security database is not deduplicated, meaning there's duplicates of all of these Social Security numbers, meaning you can have the same Social Security number many times over, with which further enables massive fraud. Your tax dollars are being stolen. This is stunning. Jovan Pulitzer tried to warn us years ago about these multiple people using the same Social Security numbers when he said this. Listen.
We discovered 10,000 people using the exact Social Security number. See if this one rings true. You take an illegal, You bring them in. They sign a piece of paper promising to pay taxes. What they get is a Social Security number. So the employers can take out the taxes. Put a pin in that. Here's what they...
Okay. Let's bring in Dan Geltrude. He's America's accountant, author of Positive Financial Karma. Dan, is this a surprise to you that they were not removing duplicate Social Security numbers? Not only were multiple people double dipping in the Social Security fund that should be ours, the government was too, making money on the backs of two or three workers, right?
Yes, they were. And does it surprise me? No, not at all, because the federal government really has very little control over what's happening financially. Now, I teach fraud and I also teach governmental accounting, two different courses. However, it's amazing how much they intersect, because I tell my students in my fraud class that in order for fraud to occur, there has to be a lack of internal controls. And there is no greater lack of internal controls anywhere in any organization as in the federal government. So because they don't have a true system of checks and balances with what's happening with our money, by the way, so shouldn't that be transparent? Right? We should know where our money is going, but we don't. So this weakness in terms of in Social Security, where you could have not just duplicates of a Social Security number, but many, many people using the same Social Security number. And I'll tell you another thing that they do. Although they may be paying into Social Security because it's required to be withheld by the employer, right? They don't withhold any income tax. So therefore, because the Social Security number is never going to be traced back to that person, they actually end up paying no federal income tax.
So we always hear the story, all these illegals, yeah, but they're paying taxes. They're paying taxes. So they're not actually paying taxes.
Well, they may be paying on the Social Security side, yes, but they're not paying on the income tax side. So remember, okay, those things are supposed to be kept in separate buckets, which makes you wonder what happened to all the money that was supposed to be in Social Security, right? But that money, of course, is being spent, so it's not there. So you end up having a double whammy where Social Security is falling short, and you're not getting the income taxes that you're supposed to be collecting.
Just play out these numbers. Let's say we have 100 people using the same Social Security number. That means the government has been able to collect on 100 people on the same number. So Social Security then, in that instance, would have more money. Why do they continue to tell us that it may be insolvent soon, that they're running out of money? It's almost as if they're not telling us that they're collecting on these 100 hypothetical slaves, which we know are not hypothetical.
Right.
Right. So my understanding of what's happening there, and it's a great point, is that when they ultimately realize that there is a duplication on the same Social Security number, that money, that those additional payments on Social Security, is going into a separate account, some type of, we'll call it a suspense account. Now, how that money is being spent, that those double, triple, quadruple payments on the same Social Security number, we're still waiting to find out where that money went. So it seems as if that's not going into Social Security and it's going somewhere else.
Wait. I'm sorry. I can't let this go. So then we as taxpayers pay to support illegals in their programs, but we don't get anything in return since they're not actually working into our system. Is that correct?
Yes, it appears that way based upon what's being uncovered at this point. Yes.
So it seems you talk about fraud. I mean, right? You talked about intent, right? So with fraud, I mean, it seems like there's some kind of hidden intent here that we're just starting to peel this onion back on, and there's some sort of massive, maybe hidden government agenda here with this, whether it's funneling this money through some sort of money laundering scheme to NGOs, which was facilitating this illegal immigration in the United States, which we now know at huge amounts. They were all using almost the same address, too. So many of these illegals that had these social security numbers, they all have the same address. Like, how difficult is that to track down? You'd have to be willfully dumb, willfully blind to not see this massive amount of fraud.
Well, what's really stunning to me is when you have duplicate social security numbers, that it's not being kicked out of the system immediately. And that should be the first line of defense, but it's not there. So when you say, well, what's going on? And yes, fraud is about intent. It's the intent to deceive. So now let's talk about what's going on here as to why it would be allowed. So you have, you know, this money coming into the system, right? And then we're seeing this with USAID, right? So this money goes into a fund and it's being spent and nobody knows why exactly it's being spent. Now, if you look at what motivates politicians, right, it's about votes. So essentially what happens here, in my view, this is about buying votes. It's subversive, but you have a politician who's out there in their district and so on, or their state, saying, well, we're supporting this and I'm supporting that. Well, yeah, they're supporting these things with our money that we're not aware of. And therein lies the problem. If all of this was disclosed, then the American people can decide with voting power whether they agree with it or not. The problem is that we don't know about this. And that's why there's so many people up in arms saying, wait a minute, Elon Musk, he wasn't elected. He can't be doing all this stuff.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're afraid yeah. of what's yes. going to come out.
Well, and this is why I think we're starting to see over the weekend this neocon message now. You're starting to see neocons aligning around this idea to stop USAID being gutted because of how it might, you know, be a gift to Putin. Look at this. Here's Michael McFaul tweeted this. Freezing USAID aid to Ukraine is a gift to Putin. Why are we giving gifts to Putin? To which I retweeted and said, this is the dumbest tweet of the day. But you saw Mike McCall on Face the Nation saying the same thing. Representative Mike McCall of Texas basically saying that this is emboldening our enemies by gutting USAID. So this is like, seems like it's the new neocon message. What do you say to that, Dan?
Well, this is all about the spin. So I think everybody in Washington knew about this. And they know where these funds are going to. So now the spin comes in and it becomes Russia, Russia, Russia. Now, whether that's right. true or not, who knows? But we certainly know, based upon what Doge is exposing, there's certainly monies going to places that shouldn't be. And then the question becomes, well, why? What is the intent? And I believe if you dig deep enough, the ultimate in that will be it will translate somehow to votes, right? So when you say, well, why would Joe Biden want to have an open border, which makes no sense, none, that any reasonable person can come up with. What I come up with there is to say there has to be an assumption that those people coming over the border illegally will eventually be Democrat voters.
Right.
Right. Absolutely. And I happen to know how this works is an employer submits a W-2. Somebody has given them a social security number. They report it to the government. If it is used multiple times, they will get a notice from the federal government saying something's amok about this social security number. And then nothing happens. The employer's not expected to be an expert in documents. That's not what they do. They're not the police. There's nothing they can do. So the government sitting on this information for decades, really, not just years. That's negligence. It may not be fraud, which is your area of expertise, but it's certainly negligence, wouldn't you say?
Of course it is. And keep in mind, from an employer's standpoint, when they're receiving these documents, and this is what fraud is all about, right? The intent to deceive. You're getting these documents which are fraudulent. Now, what are you supposed to do? audit these things as an employer? If everything appears to be reasonable, which I'm sure they are, you're under the assumption that this person is legitimately here and that they are going to pay taxes. But even when the government catches up on this, if they ever do, if there's no enforcement of anything, you could have all the rules and all the laws you want, right? If you don't enforce it, you still end up in the same spot. Or how about this one? Selective enforcement. We also have that right as well. But either way, unless you're going to really enforce the laws, you're not going to be able to achieve your objectives of law and order.
Right. Dan Geltrude, great to see you today. Thank you for that analysis. And we're literally at the top of the onion. It's going to get a lot stinkier real soon here. Dan, great to see you. Thanks so much for your analysis on this.
Thank you.
All right. And someone in our chat just says, you know, the whole argument, global you forever in our Rumble chat says the whole argument about Elon being unelected is childish and ignorant. There's never been a cabinet member who was elected to that job, not federal, not state, not local. And the president of the United States gets to choose his staff. Right. Like he gets to pick his own staff. So yeah. All of these Democrats freaking out, right? He's unelected. Now you see it. It's like a common message. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, and then all of the little parrots on the left-wing media. They're like, he's not elected. Who elected him as president? Time Magazine puts him on the cover.
I think will have this as a fight. And in fact, over the weekend, J.D. Vance, because a judge has started to tell the Trump administration what they can and cannot do. J.D. Vance, vice president, said if a judge tried to tell a general how to conduct a military operation, that would be illegal. If a judge tried to command the attorney general and how to use their prosecution, that would be illegal. Judges aren't allowed to control the executive power, to which constitutional scholar Jed Rubenfeld said, actually, that's quite right. So we may, in fact, have this. If we need to take it to the courts, we'll do it, right? And let's see who has the power to do what. Let's have it all out in writing and end this fight. What scares me the most is that this could be a drawn-out litigation and Trump would be able to accomplish nothing that the American people clearly support, such as removing boys from girls' locker rooms, such as shrinking the size of the government, all of those things.
All right, we got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to look at the farmer protests in London. What does that portend for Europe? They're asking for their government to not tax them and put on this onerous 20% tax. They only make about 3-5% as it stands right now anyway. So I had a chance to speak with Vicky Richter in London just a few hours ago. I'm going to play that for you here in a moment. She's there in the midst of all of these farmers who are saying, you know, these globalists are taking away our way of life. You know, no farmers, no food. We even have a t-shirt on our freaking website about that. No farmers, no food. So we're going to talk about that. But first, just a short time ago, I mean, I think overnight, gold just hit a new all-time high, over $2,900 an ounce. And of course, Bank of America, UBS, I think has it hitting over $3,000 an ounce for an ounce of gold. And you're seeing these central banks that are buying up gold as much as they can right now because of the fluctuation of international currencies. The pound just plummeted in England. The United States dollar fluctuating. So if your family's future is tied to any sort of fiat currency in a government, you're really risking it all by having your family's future tied to that. So our friends over at Lear Capital can help you get set up and learning how to invest in precious metals. We're big proponents of it here, gold and silver. In fact, silver prices today, I'm just going to look at the silver prices, $32 an ounce for silver, $2,900 an ounce for gold, surging on all of this news. So they can help you get set up, even if it's just a portion of your savings. Maybe you have $1,000 in U.S. saving in U.S. dollars in your savings account. You may want to consider converting that into gold and silver. And if it goes up, that's great. But really, it's about wealth preservation for your family. If you've got college fund set aside for your children and the U.S. dollar plummets, that's a huge problem, right? So wouldn't you rather have that backed by gold and silver? Anyway, they can help you. Just get on the phone with them. They're a great American company. Call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. They've put together a special guide right now as it relates to Trump's tariffs and everything that's happening in the global economy. What does this look like for an incoming recession? And how can you protect your family? Just call them or go to the website, LearRedacted.com. Once again, that's LearRedacted.com. Or here's their phone number, 800-613-3557.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
To London now, where a massive farmer protest has erupted. What do the farmers want? What are their demands? This is, of course, coming as all sorts of regulations and restrictions have been put upon farmers across the European Union. Of course, we were in Berlin last year covering those farmers' protests and across the Netherlands, all across the world right now. And so we want to go live to London now with Vicky Richter, who's an investigative journalist for Urban Scoop, who is there live at the protests. Vicky, good to see you. What are the farmers asking for? Why are they there today?
So thank you, first of all, for having me on your show, because it's a very, very important topic. Wildlife farmers are now the third time in London to demand the Labour Party, the Keir Starmer government, to ax the inheritance tax. The inheritance tax is a tax what would tax the farmers 20% of their income. So you have to think 20% doesn't sound really much, and everyone would say, we all have to pay inheritance tax, but that's not the point. So when you say a farmer has to pay 20% of taxes, they do the math on the property and on the value of the farm. So let's just make the example. You have a cattle farm, a middle big cattle farm. It's still a family farm, which is in the possession of the family since 6 generations. They don't know anything different than farming, and they love it. But they maybe have a range between £3 million pounds. But this is not liquid money. It's all connected to their cattle, to their farming machine. So you can't just bring a cow to the bank and cash out £3,000. So with this taxes, they literally make the farmers sell their property, sell some of their land. Then the value of the producing farming is not even profitable anymore. And when you see what they earn, I talked with several farmers because we are doing a documentary about farmers. So what they earn is maybe 5% in a good year, really, really good year. But normally they maybe get 2-3% out of as profit. And when you think about who is actually working for 3% out of profit, and they are literally the backbone of the whole society, because they are feeding Britain. And everyone says, yeah, but it's only about the farmers. It's not about the farmers, because the farmers are the first chain in the supply chain. If you cut off the supply chain from local farmers, from British farmers, Britain has to import more and more food. The standards of the British food is very high. So they have a lot of regulations, which makes the work very hard for the farmers already, and then putting up inheritance taxes makes it literally impossible to produce and do what they love, like producing and bringing food to the families and to the British people. And then Britain has to import food, which is not really regulated. They don't know what they put in the food. And that's very, very short measuring. So it's not really good what the Labour Party is doing. And the most frustrating thing for the labor, for the people, foremost for the farmers, is Labour Party promised them 6 months ago, before they went into office, we will not raise inheritance tax. We won't do this. So they lied, got votes. They lied to their voters, and now they're not even talking to the farmers.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that politicians would lie. Vicky, it sounds to me, I mean, from what we're hearing over the past couple of years, all throughout Europe, is that this is a globalist agenda to just shut down these family farms. I mean, you saw it in the Netherlands, right? We've seen it in Germany. Drive up the taxes, try to drive these small family farms out of business with all sorts of ridiculous demands put upon them. And then globalists get to push upon us their manufactured fake meat products or whatever else. So these farmers have to be incredibly frustrated. They're working for such little margins and they're trying to feed the world.
Yeah, and the thing is like Britain had their Brexit. So we are in the fifth year of Brexit. 5 years ago, Britain left the European Union. They were voting for more Britain first policies and nothing happened. So there were promises made which weren't kept, and now you have even Keir Starmer lingering around with Ursula von der Leyen, which is a leader in the European Union, where they actually should talk closer with the Americans, with Trump, to get closer back to their actually best friend, which is the U.S. But they don't do it because they don't like Trump. They don't like the freedom what Trump brings. So they are lingering and bringing back, or trying maybe bring back UK to the British, to the European Union.
European Union. Do you think there's going to be any movement? I mean, we saw in Berlin that the German government backed down because of the farmer protests in Germany, and you know their banners that they were waving: "No farmers, no food." Germany will not be able to have food without what we do. Do you think the government, the Keir Starmer government, is going to back down on this?
We would wish. We would wish, but that's now the third protest in London in 3 months. And today there is a very important discussion in Parliament about the tax, inheritance tax. So the farmers are literally hoping that maybe today Downing Street 10 will listen, and Keir Starmer and all the Labour Party who is right now sitting in office, getting back to common sense and say, okay, we have to feed the people, we have to back our farmers. Because there are a lot of signs what I saw today at this protest, where we fed the people after the Second World War. We were the people who kept Britain alive and who is rescuing us right now. So the British farmers feel betrayed by their government. They don't know what they should believe. They're just hoping that someone will step up and say, hey, we have to do something. I had an interview with a 15-year-old girl. Her family is in, they have a sixth-generation family farm. And she's afraid if she should study agriculture or not, because she wants to be a farmer. But with this a ridiculous high inheritance tax, she doesn't know if she is even able to. So this is not only a thing about money. Like, I interviewed a chaplain, an agricultural chaplain, and he was talking about increasing numbers of suicides in the farmers' community.
Wow. It's devastating. I hope the government is paying attention to this. And will the protests continue through the evening? Are they going to remain there? Are they heading back to their farms?
Most of them will be heading back to their farms. The numbers are right now, they said there are 1,000 tractors. Maybe you see it behind me.
Right. Wow.
It's the whole street is full of tractors, and most of them will probably drive home tonight. The discussion will start soon in the parliament. So they are waiting on the members of parliament that they maybe listen or start to listen. I had an interview with Rupert Lowe. He's a member of parliament from the Reform Party. He's totally backing the farmers and says we have to get back to common sense and stop sending billions of pounds to other countries. And then we're going to try to get every little penny out of our people, like especially about the farmers. But they're also raising the taxes, like the council taxes are now 10% higher. The energy prices are insane in Britain. So the people in Britain are suffering right now, and the Labour Party is actually not doing anything to help them.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, you can send billions of dollars to Ukraine, but when your own people are suffering, in England right now. It's devastating. Vicky, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for taking some time out of these protests to speak with us. We really appreciate your great reporting on this. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Vicky. We appreciate her from London today. Great report there. All right, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We are going to look at Europe collapsing. You remember that just a few weeks ago, I think the Politico of all magazines, said that Europe basically was on a death watch. They are marching towards apocalypse as many alarm bells are going off in their economy right now. And it looks like Germany has completely lost its mind. Olaf Scholz is basically saying, oh, you know, you pulling money out of Ukraine, why? And President Trump taking an America first position on Ukraine, really, it really is a bad idea.
Yeah.
So like we want to have an America first agenda. He's really upset at Trump. So we're going to talk to Ralph Schulhammer in just a second about all of that from Europe tonight. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing. Americans still have kitchen table problems. A lot of us carrying really high credit card balances that charge us 20% or more each month. It's time to get rid of those. So homeowners, if you've been waiting to figure out how to get your finances in order, you need to call our friends at American Financing today. American Financing salary-based mortgage consultants are helping homeowners just like you tap into their home's equity to get out of high interest debt. They're saving their customers an average of $800 a month just by doing this. Saving that kind of money every month should make the decisions really easy. All it takes is a 10-minute, no-cost, no-obligation phone call. Just give them a call to find out if you can take advantage of this. Call 866-890-8434 or visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Again, that's AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. NMLS 182334.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Well, new data shows Europe is on the verge of collapse. We've seen the pound collapse over the last week. The euro continues to decline. Europeans watching what is happening in the United States, where even though the economy is hurting, at least Americans are getting some straight answers as to why. We are being told, yes, we fund war. Yes, we fund terrorists. Yes, we tell other countries how to be and then fund their gay drag shows. We are doing that. That's one of the many reasons your dollar has suffered. Europeans are getting no such answers, even though people like Ralph Scholz has been asking for them for years and years. He joins us today. Ralph has been gone for a long time, and we're glad to have him back. Ralph, thank you for joining us. Tell us what it feels like to watch this from abroad or whatever else you're going to say.
Thanks so much for having me. I think we're going to have such a crazy year ahead of us. We probably have to check in regularly with each other in the weeks and months to come. It's going to be an exciting 2025. And I remember, Clay, was it 2 years ago? I think almost 2 years ago when we had our first conversation, kind of a long conversation about Germany. And very much right. The things that we predicted, I think it's fair to say, back in 2023, most of them came to pass. What I find funny, and you mentioned this in the show already, is when Olaf Scholz complains about the Donald Trump, he's a deal maker, he's not a diplomat. What does he think that diplomacy actually is? I mean, deal making is just another term for diplomacy. If you want a sustainable agreement, then you want something where both parties believe that they have won. And another term for that is to make a deal. This is the absurdity in Europe that I have a sense that some politicians, I'm slightly exaggerating, that they think the only good deal is one where your own people suffer and somebody else does not. And I think it was quite similar in the United States. And we see this change at the moment, which is quite exciting.
But it must be incredibly frustrating that we are getting this transparency, at least, and seeing all of this cruft and crap. And Europeans know that they also are having to pay for this right now through European Union initiatives, and they're not getting that. And so is there a call for like, hey, show us this stuff, too?
Show us the fraud.
Actually, it's It's already happening. I mean, this is the amazing thing that's currently going on, that so many of the things that Donald Trump is doing are now spilling over to Europe. Even some, believe it or not, some mainstream journalists have now started to look into, for example, when there are demonstrations against the quote-unquote far right. Who is behind these demonstrations? Who are the organizers behind these demonstrations? And it turns out that very often they work on the government dime. So we probably also have to redefine the term NGO, because it's not a non-governmental institution organization if all your funding comes from the government. The same is true, I think, in the way how which people look at the media. So the Trump effect, I think, is spilling over slowly but surely into Europe. Now, we'll see. We also talked about this on your show, right? When we define what are the elites, I think the definition that we very often had, which I think is an accurate one, is they are the ones who want to maintain the status quo at all cost. The status quo meaning pushing forward with green deals, pushing forward with net zero, pushing forward with the war on farmers, pushing forward with deindustrialization. And of course, they will try whatever they can to slow down this Trumpian revolution, if you want. But you can see that people are getting on board, because the envy that many Europeans feel is, wait a moment, in America, all of a sudden, politicians try to actually do what they promised before the election. Why can't we have that? And so the new parties, the right-wing parties, they are somewhat now, they find themselves in the corner. They have to deliver now. So if they get into office, whether it's the Freedom Party in Austria, Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, or the AfD in Germany, like, they cannot say, oh, you know what, let's get into power and then we just lean back and enjoy all the funds and everything that comes with it. They have to do something, because people are saying, if Trump can do it in the US, you guys have to do it over here. So this is, I'm actually slightly optimistic.
Well, I mean, think about all the money that USAID was funneling into Europe and all of these media organizations against the AfD, like against right-wing political parties, right? So they were up against this massive United States. Yeah, yes. Massive propaganda wall. And you have Viktor Orban over the past few days basically saying, you know what, we're going to start to look at our own, where was this money being funneled? Maybe at our own version of Doge. So I think you could see, I was predicting over the weekend that we might see a Doge, like a Doge spring. Like, it's going to spread around.
It's a pandemic of Doge.
Yeah, like, yes. There's going to be all of this transparency being pushed in governments right now throughout Europe.
Yeah, and it's the very, let's say, nefarious roles that were played by people like, you know, Robert Kagan, Samantha Powers, and I forgot what's her name, the wife of Robert Kagan. I'm blanking, but you know, it's the usual usual suspects who've been behind all these, you know, laying fires all over Europe and then claiming that this is, you know, the independent press. And now you hear the independent press cannot survive without money from the United States. So you hear, you know, that, well, what George Soros did was just, you know, civil engagement, that's civil society. Well, if it's civil society, then why does USAID have to fund it? No, we have been gaslit to such an extent from both sides of the Atlantic that I cannot say it enough. I tip my hat to the American people that you guys made the decision against all the pressure from the media, from academia, from the cultural sector to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, seriously, bless you, because this was absolutely necessary. And you can sense, especially in the United States and hopefully soon in Europe as well, the wave of optimism. I mean, I watched the Super Bowl. I still don't get the rules of American football, but I'll get there one day. But you could see optimism. I mean, you know, Taylor Swift gets booed and Donald Trump is being cheered on. I mean, if you would have told me 4 years ago, who would have believed it? But there we are.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. I want to ask you about some of this news that Donald Trump, it's been reported, doesn't want to deal with the EU. He says, I will deal with each 27 nation individually. I don't know a single European that thinks the EU makes their lives better. The only people in Europe, I think, that worship the EU are American expats. I'm convinced of that. That's my experience, because Americans romanticize Europe. They have such beautiful food. They know how to relax or whatever. The EU must be great. But real Europeans know that it is bureaucratic cruft only designed to tamp down innovation and economic
and
growth.
Sovereignty.
And sovereignty. Yeah. Right. And so I'm not asking if you agree with me. I'm asking, what do you think it's possible for Trump to diplomatically deal with each member state individually?
Listen, I'm not going to lie. In Austria, we have 5 weeks paid vacation plus around 10 to 12 public holidays. And the employer
is
forced by law. And we also get 14 yearly salaries. So the actual work year is 10 months and the actually paid year is 14 months. It's completely unsustainable. But as long as it works, it's a pretty sweet deal. So Trump is not wrong when he said something was wrong in the past that kind of Europeans, you know, we outsourced a defense to the United States, we outsourced innovation to the United States, we outsourced production to China. So when he says, listen, reality is coming and it's coming fast and you guys either get along or you go under, he's right. And he makes an offer and says, do all 27 EU member states want to go over the cliff? Or are there some of you who think, you know what, maybe we should try to do things differently? I think that's very smart of him, as I said many times, and you guys as well. We continue to underestimate Trump and especially what he tries to accomplish, which is he would be happy to make a deal with the entire European Union. But of course, it must be a deal from which both sides benefit. And I have been promoting a kind of a free trade area between the United States and Europe for a long time. I think both sides could benefit from this. And I think this is ultimately also what Donald Trump would be pushing for. So let's hope we get something out of it.
So let's get you out of here on this, Ralph, which is just about the state of Europe right now. You have all, you know, Germany, the tip of the spear here. I mean, they are really in a lot of pain right now. I think what multiple quarters of a recession now in Germany, businesses shuttering. You know, you have the energy crisis, of course. You have Olaf Scholz trying to lecture Trump about sending more money to Ukraine and supporting Ukraine while Germany is collapsing. How bad is it or is it going to be in Europe right now? Are they really on death watch?
Well, I would say so. It's definitely in a kind of a comatose situation, but you can get out of it. So I think not all hope is lost. The European engineers are still pretty good. The European people in general want to work. One of the reasons why they appear lazy is not because they are. It is because we have created incentives within the welfare system where people who do not work, who only work 20 hours per week, get almost the same money as somebody who works 40 hours per week. So of course, everybody who works full time says, I'm not an idiot. I'm going to go to the 20 hours. So there are things that can be changed and they must be changed. But you're absolutely right. The big game changer, because for all its problems, the 200-pound gorilla in the room is still Germany. If the Germans on February 23rd, which is a Sunday when they have their federal elections, decide that they want different politics, that they want an alternative, I think then there is still hope. If they vote again for a lukewarm so-called conservative party that will then enter into an alliance and a coalition government with the Greens and the Social Democrats, at some point, and this is the difference in the United States, listen, voters get what they vote for. So if only 20% wants change and 80% say, nah, I think the way things are is just fine, then this is, as Charles Krauthammer used to say, decline is a choice, and then Europeans made their choice and the Americans made theirs. But I think we cannot expect Washington to bail us out indefinitely.
Yeah, I think that free ride of free money seems to be coming to an end. So all of the subsidies going into Europe and Canada and Mexico and everywhere else, I think that gravy train has pulled into the terminal.
I mean, if for no other reason, while you were talking, we were just showing some B-roll of Munich looking clean and beautiful.
Berlin.
And was that also Berlin?
I think that was the Brandenburg
Gate.
We've
been in Germany recently. It does not look clean and beautiful. It is full of trash and graffiti now. The Germans are allowing that through their socialist government. So, I mean, we were just there. That's not what it looks like. There's trash on the streets now. And so how can Germans then say, we like it like this?
No, I think you're right. I mean, this is something that is so often, in my opinion, underreported. That economic hardship or economic problems are in most cases, unless there is some, you know, natural disaster, a hurricane, an earthquake or something of that kind, is a symptom of an erosion of the soul, if you want, or of the spirit of a nation. Exactly as you say, it starts with graffiti. It starts with, the trains are no longer on time. It starts with you no longer update the infrastructure. I mean, problems that in parts the United States had as well, but everybody's hoping now, and it looks like Trump, and Trump is going to reverse it. But for me, this has always been an expression of deeper cultural issues. And this is not the question in Germany. Do you want to be a great power? or at least a European power? Do you want to be an economic powerhouse, or do you want to be an open-air museum that is, you know, the extension of a European caliphate? And that is more or less the decision the Europeans have to make.
Yeah.
Right. Wide open borders and illegal immigrants trashing their economy and all sorts of violence, and we hear that on a regular basis as well. Ralph, great to see you as always. You can check out Ralph. He hosts Hammer Time, and he's follow him on X because he's one of the keenest minds as an academic researcher out there on all of these politics. From Austria today, Ralph, great to see you. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to seeing you guys much often this year.
Yes. Absolutely. Auf Wiedersehen.
All right. And Philip, who chose that B-roll of beautiful Germany, I didn't mean to dump on your B-roll. It was beautiful.
I hope no, it's beautiful, but that's, I think that was the Brandenburg Gate right in the heart of Berlin right
there.
Yeah,
it was just generic Germany B-roll that was,
Right, yeah. Germany cleaned up. It was like San Francisco when President Xi Jinping came.
The same thing would happen if I tried to make B-roll of Portland. Like, I'd have to go back like 10 years. And be like, here's what we would like it to look like.
Before the Black Lives Matter riots, burned down businesses and everything else.
Literally last time I was downtown Portland, I was by the library, and there's like a big kind of park area, like a full block that's just kind of like park area, and it was literally just trash and tents all around that thing, if spilling into the street. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
A lot of European cities look like that. I mean, Lisbon looks like that in the downtown area. Paris is overrun by trash. It's not,
Paris used to, years ago, Paris used to be beautiful, and now it's turned into a dump.
Yeah.
Thanks to Emmanuel Macron and his husband.
The last time I was there, the amount of loogies on the floor. I'm sorry, I said loogies, but we're going to end it there. What's funny, David?
What Clayton said. I got what he was throwing down.
Emmanuel Macron and his husband.
Oh, I missed that one. Oh my gosh. You guys, have you been watching that? Becoming Brigitte? We're going to get to that. Candace Owens, yes. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get to that another time, but man,
Emmanuel
we're busy
Macron
recently.
And his husband. Hey, we got a redacted store, like what David's wearing. Like, take a look at David's hat. Someone in the chat last week on Friday said they've been wearing their redacted hat every day for a year, and it's been perfect. I have my redacted hat. I wear it all the time.
Look. He's just the model. He's like our pay-per-view model.
Silence equals complicity. Yeah. Yep. We got a whole bunch of great stuff on our store. And it's really affordable. We don't mark the prices up beyond the printing costs. We really try to keep it right at cost, guys. So, and it just helps support independent journalism. We got a whole bunch of new designs on there, like Truth is Not Hate Speech. We got our America First t-shirts on there. No Farmers, No Food, which is relevant today, as we were just talking about the farmer protests, of course, in London. And we got our t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and stickers. Just go to redactedstore.com and check everything out and see what you like over there. If there's anything you want to get. And support independent journalism. We really appreciate it. So, all right, everyone, that's going to do it for us here on this Monday. We'll be back here tomorrow streaming live at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Hope you guys have a wonderful afternoon.
Clayton may, in fact, take off his Eagles shirt now. He's been wearing it for a week for the luck.
Yes.
Bring the Eagles luck.
Exactly.
It worked. I think you can take it off.
Is it time to wash it now?
I think that's okay.
You might want to wear it for next year.
Don't give him any ideas. He woke up this morning and he goes, did I dream it?
Did it really happen yesterday?
He was so excited.
Because as a Phillies fan, you're used to just dealing with disappointment your whole life, in Philly sports. So anyway.
Did you sleep in it?
Used to dealing with that.
Or did?
No, I didn't sleep in it. I took it off briefly to sleep and put it right back on. So anyway, I need a little excitement in my life once in a while. So I'm glad my Eagles
pulled
it off.
Give the man his sports. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I love how the liberal media is like trying to portray Trump at the Super Bowl. They were like, I don't know if you heard, there was like a massive amount of applause. He went down on the field at one point with the families of the victims of the terrorist attack there in Bourbon Street and all of that in the French Quarter. And huge applause. And then the liberal media was like, Trump was booed. Like, what?
Roll back the tape.
Did you watch the Super Bowl? Like, what? No, Taylor Swift was booed. Trump was not booed. I don't know what liberal media you're like. What are you even watching?
Yeah. Anyway,
well, they grabbed one video from one person. And so it was like a close up of one person and he was booing. So that's the one they played. You could hear him, but you couldn't really hear other people around him.
Okay. Right. So one guy's booing maybe there was 30 people booing, but it was definitely, anyway, I love how the liberal media spins this stuff. It's crazy. Anyway, that's going to do it for us on this Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. Want me to say goodbye? I'll say goodbye. Thank you for being here. We will be back here tomorrow. Today's Monday. We stream live Monday through Thursday, and the newsletter comes out the same days that the show is live. So stick with us. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.